There's an important new movie called With God on Our Side. Does it point the way to reconciliation between Jew and Arab in the Middle East, or is it really a hit piece against Israel?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
It was last year that a couple of my colleagues went to a local showing here in Charlotte of a movie called With God on Our Side, well produced by Porter Speakman Jr. He comes from a solid ministry family background. He was joined by Reverend Stephen Sizer, who is a well-known anti-Christian Zionist theologian from the UK. And my friends came back with a copy of this DVD for me, With God on Our Side. And I said, you know, at some point, I need to do a show about it, talk about it on the air, do a critique, and invite Porter Speakman on, invite Stephen Sizer on to give their side of the story. And Porter Speakman originally said he'd be glad to come on, and then we made clear I'm going to be differing with him, but I want to give him the opportunity to give his side of the story. Ended up not getting back to us about coming on. We got no response from Stephen Sizer about joining us, but I welcome either of these gentlemen to come back on at any point to discuss this video, With God on Our Side, that I found deeply disturbing based on historical facts, based on what was presented, based on how it was presented, and even based on some of the theology involved. Michael Brown, welcome to The Line of Fire today. It's Thursday, which means our focus is on Israel-Jewish-related issues. If you'd like to call in, if you've seen the video, if you've been involved with talks maybe that Reverend Sizer has given, if you want to take issue with what I'm saying or support what I'm saying, number to call is 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Online, askdrbrown.org. Click on The Line of Fire. You'll find a lot of resources related to today's show that you can read and watch and listen to online. And then our Facebook page, Ask Dr. Brown on Facebook. I am joined for this show by a grad from our school and a family friend for many, many years, known her mom and dad since, the mid-1980s, Shani Ferguson. Hey, Shani, how you doing there today in Israel?
I'm doing great.
All right, glad to hear it. I know you've been sick a little bit. You got four kids to care for and a husband, but appreciate you taking the time to join us.
My pleasure.
Hey, Shani, I know you're involved in doing lots of commentaries online about the situation between Israel and Palestine. And obviously, as someone who's spent most of your life in Israel, you have a certain perspective. But just tell me, as an Israeli and as a Jewish follower of Yeshua as well, how you felt just emotionally watching With God on Our Side. Just your general impressions about the video before we start to get into any details.
I have to say that I've seen this type of propaganda and commentary from the Arab or Palestinian side for years. I think the part that was so troubling to me was knowing that this targeting our greatest ally at this point, which is the evangelical church. So I think my heart kind of sank when I saw it because I was just thinking a lot of people don't know enough about Israel and the situation here, and they're just going to see this quote fresh perspective and fall for it.
So we've got just about 45 seconds before the first break, but in your mind, this was not a fair and balanced presentation?
By any stretch of the imagination, no.
Yeah, you know, I have to say that as I watched, I took detailed notes last night of about the first 37 minutes, so we won't even cover all of the video today. To note that it went this far about matters of justice and didn't even hear anything about the Holocaust thus far, or the atrocities committed in the intifadas, and that basically there was only one victim in this, and that was the Palestinians and Israeli, the guilty party. And then some of the extremist scholars that were cited with nothing to balance it out on a scholarly level. I was deeply disappointed and shocked, especially because this is in the name of justice and the gospel. We'll be back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
We are focusing on Israel and on a DVD that came out last year, getting a lot of play in different Christian circles, With God on Our Side, produced by Porter Speakman Jr., and with the help of Reverend Stephen Sizer as a theological advisor, colleague in the midst of this. 866-34-TRUTH, if you'd like to weigh in, 866-348-7884, online, askdrbrown.org. Okay, the back of this video says this: With God on Our Side takes a look at the theology of Christian Zionism, which teaches that because the Jews are God's chosen people, they have a divine right to the land of Israel. Aspects of this belief system lead some Christians in the West to give uncritical support to Israeli government policies, even those that privilege Jews at the expense of Palestinians, leading to great suffering among Muslim and Christian Palestinians alike and threatening Israel's security as a whole. Is there a biblical alternative for Christians who want to love and support the people of Israel, a way that doesn't favor one people group over another, but instead promotes peace and reconciliation for both Jews and Palestinians? Certainly, all civil-minded, loving people would love to promote peace and reconciliation for both Jews and Palestinians. And certainly Christians who stand with Israel do not want to stand for injustice. But this DVD is so extraordinarily imbalanced in its presentation, even with quotes that have produced that have been proven to be non-existent, fictional, that are even on here. Either there was simply ignorance about the other side by the producers and those involved with this, or they felt that the Israel pro side is constantly being put forward, and therefore they had to put forward the opposite side, or it was intentionally deceptive. So I choose not to believe the latter. I choose to believe it was one of the first two. Joined from Israel with a one of our grads active in ministry in Israel with her husband Kobe, Shani Ferguson. Shani, in general, what were the things, just watching it, that gave you the perspective of this is not accurate, this is not fair, this is not balanced? We'll go through a lot of specifics, but the general feel for folks who haven't watched it, what impression would you get, and what did you feel was so wrong about that impression?
Well, I think the first thing that I noticed, which was very obvious if you're looking for it or if you're familiar with the rules of propaganda, is the footage of Palestinians was pretty much exclusively mothers and, you know, smiling men, children running the streets, a bit aimless, so you kind of felt bad for them, standing in dirty alleyways. And the only footage that you had of Israelis was soldiers yep. and older Orthodox men, so you kind of felt like disconnected. When you, even if you wanted to feel connected to Israel, it was kind of like, oh, the soldiers and the older Orthodox men are some rowdy young, you know, religious radicals. And so I could tell that the objective behind the film was to make you feel connected to the Palestinian people as, you know, family people, hardworking people, and feel more of a disconnect towards Israelis.
Right. So even if from their perspective, the American public or the Christian public is not really getting the whole story, and is just being exposed to the Israeli tourism side, and that's wrong, then what they would be doing was equally wrong. I'm just saying, even if that was their perspective, equally wrong by quite intentionally having these pictures. In other words, let's say the Israeli soldiers during a time of war or during Intifada raided someone's home and pulled someone out for questioning. So they'll have that person say, yeah, my brother was pulled out for questioning, and there's the mom with a bottle of milk feeding a baby and the family talking about this. Well, was there any reason that the Israelis happened to be in there? Was there perhaps there had been suicide bombings? Perhaps there had been people maimed lying in the streets in the Jewish community, and Israelis were trying to find the person who did it? No, it's just random. There's no reason. Attack the evil Israelis. Attack the poor, helpless Palestinians. So if the goal of the film is reconciliation, and reconciliation has to be based on truth, it is really missing things big time right from the start. So
right, and you know, I wanted to qualify. My children go to school with Arabs. I don't have any kind of animosity towards them as a people group. there's a big difference between the Arab people and, per se, the Palestinian propaganda machine. And the issue with showing the people, the Palestinian people, as these, you know, family people, and completely eliminating the issue of terrorism and Hamas and is so warped that it's hard to really relate. It's almost like talking about Iran as, you know, this wonderful country and there's wonderful people there, and completely eliminating the fact that they have a crazy leader.
So let's just press this a little further. You're saying that your kids go to school with Arab kids. I thought Israel has kicked all the Arabs out and oppresses all the Arabs and has them live behind the fence, just like South African apartheid or the Berlin Wall. And the Berlin Wall, of course, comes up in this dividing east from west in the past. So what are Arabs doing living in the land? How come they're not kicked out by the evil Israelis and oppressed and suppressed and kept behind the fence?
That's a good point. And one thing that could be brought out is not so much also the fact that we have many, many Arabs that are part of society. In fact, when our president, which was one of the biggest court cases in Israeli history, when our president was accused of rape and they took him to court, he was sentenced by an Arab judge who was a member of the Supreme Court. So
Hang on. There is an Arab judge on the Israeli Supreme Court?
We have Arab judges, we have Arab police, we have Arabs in our military, we have Muslims in our military. Israel is like the polar opposite of what it's being accused of. So there's a difference between the Arabs in the quote West Bank, and it's very different than a racial issue.
Okay, and what about Arabs serving in Parliament?
Absolutely. Even Arabs that act up still get to serve in Parliament. In fact,
because
we had an Arab a member of the Knesset that was on that flotilla and is very openly critical of Israel. In fact, yesterday threw a fit in the Knesset and was had to physically be taken out. But they are still members of the Knesset, still respected people, because we're a democracy. And even though we don't like everything that is done, we do allow people to voice their opinions.
And what's the Arab population within Israel today? We're not talking about those that identify as Palestinians in the West Bank or Gaza, but the general Arab population, Arab citizens within Israel.
It's about a million.
About a million people. Okay. And where did they come from?
They are the Arabs that, when Israel became a nation, they agreed to stay and become a part of the Jewish nation of Israel.
But no. The according to the video, the Jews, the Jewish settlers, those that were forming the modern state of Israel, were guilty of ethnic cleansing. That word is used several times. If they're guilty of ethnic cleansing, how did these Arabs escape? Did they hide and then come back out later?
And that's why the factual side of this film is so inaccurate and so misleading. And that's why it's hard for me to tell if they just didn't study when they made this film or if they purposely did not include this information.
Yeah, and again, I want to give the benefit of the doubt that it was ignorance on their end or thinking that somehow they were balancing an imbalance as opposed to being intentionally deceptive. I want to give that benefit of the doubt. And again, the door is open for Porter Speakman or Steven Sizer or Christopher, the young man who narrates through this video, for any of them to join me on the line of fire and to back up any of the things that we're saying were absolutely misleading, wrong information. Hey,
I would actually agree with you that I tend towards the fact that he was just ignorant, because he says that he was so ignorant of the situation in the Middle East, and then he comes here and he hears these stories and he's really taken back because, you know, it touches his heart. And the problem is I think that he just went on the other extreme of ignorance, of, you know, taking the little bit of information that he learned and making a whole film where he pretty much grew up with a little bit of information he had about Israel.
Right. Yeah, and I would take it as a sincere attempt to do a Christian thing done in a very wrong, destructive, and even ugly way. We've got a few seconds before the break, but one more general picture. You've spent time in America. You lived here some years and been back and forth in the country many times. How does free speech in America compare to free speech in Israel?
I would say, in the last few years, from what I've been hearing in the States, I would almost argue that we have more free speech over here than in the States. But it's pretty similar in the sense that we are allowed to voice our opinions. There are groups here that, religious groups that would like to harass each other, but it's not from the government. It's just, their free speech against our free speech, I guess.
Right. And I've read things in Israeli press and attacks from politicians one against another that seem to be even more extreme than what we're used to in America. But again, just want to give that picture. We'll come back, Shani, and we'll start to go point for point through this video and expose the errors of With God on Our Side.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I'm joined today by Shani Ferguson, an Israeli, married to Kobe Ferguson, with their four kids living in Jerusalem, serving and ministering in Jerusalem. We're sharing our perspectives on what I feel is an imbalanced, a dangerously imbalanced video called With God on Our Side. It's really a critique of Christian Zionism. 866-34-TRUTH if you've got questions or comments. Shani, a premise of the video seems to be that it's wrong to think that God is on the side of Israel or God is on the side of the Palestinians, and that we just have to have kind of a neutral approach and reach out. And one of the verses used starts with Joshua, the fifth chapter, where the angel of the Lord appears, or the captain of the Lord's host appears to Joshua. And he wants to know, are you for us or against us? And he says, neither, but I've come as captain of the Lord's host. And Joshua falls down on his face and worships him. There are, of course, many, many, many verses, though, throughout Scripture where God speaks to Israel and says, I'm with you. Do you feel, though, that perhaps they have a point, that Christians are really not looking at issues of justice, that Christians just on a gut level are siding with Israel, and Israel can do no wrong in their eyes? And that's a big error. Or from your perspective, are there real justice issues going on?
Well, here's the thing. God is on the side of his word. And I think a good story example, because, sometimes when you read verses that give you some sort of philosophy, it's a little confusing, and it's easier to understand a message from a story in the Bible. And if you look at, Genesis 20, after God tells Abraham, the famous, I will bless those who bless you, I will curse those who curse you. Abraham goes down, meets Abimelech, the king Abimelech, and, does his big faux pas of telling him that it's Sarah's his sister. And, so Abimelech says, well, she's very pretty, I'd like to marry her. And so he takes her, and God appears to Abimelech in a dream, and he says, you're dead if you don't give Abraham back his wife. And Abimelech says, but I was innocent, I didn't know. And God says, and yes, you were, and therefore I'm giving you the chance to make it right. And so then he tells him, go to Abraham, because he's a prophet, and Abraham is going to pray for you, and he's going to restore the blessing on your house, because God had made the entire house of Abimelech barren. And really the storyline here is, Abraham was the one who messed up here. I mean, he didn't tell the truth. Abimelech did that out of the innocence of his heart. And still the blessing was on Abraham, and so Abimelech had to go to Abraham to have the blessing restored to his house. And so even though that doesn't seem like justice, it seems like Abraham then made the mistake, that's just not right. God had his word that he was going to make Abraham a blessing, and anybody that did Abraham wrong, even if somehow he didn't mean to, that he was going to curse him. And so when we look at different policies or, different things that people don't like, if there's legitimate issues that, we don't like, that Israel isn't doing correctly, I mean legitimate, not this, media nonsense, legitimate stuff that Israel doesn't do right as a country because it is run by humans, then we bring it up. But that doesn't somehow negate the eternal blessings and promises of God. I don't see how people just jump to that extreme conclusion.
So, in other words, God made promises that he would scatter his people, that he would bring them back to the land. Ezekiel 36, even as a precedent for God bringing them back to the land in unbelief, and then they're in the land, sprinkling clean water on them. There are other passages that point in that same direction. Yet there's still human beings involved. So, for example, there have been things that have happened in recent Israeli history, I mean in the last 60-plus years, where there's been outcry from the nation, where there have been protests, where they felt Israelis did not act fairly to their Arab neighbors. And there have been protests, there have been investigations. I mean, this happens in Israel. Israel is an extremely self-critical nation to the point that on this documentary, Jewish scholars or Israeli scholars or activists could be quoted supporting what I believe are very wrong statements and conclusions in the documentary, and yet they're allowed to do these things because Israel is extremely self-critical. But you're saying we cannot separate the fact that there's still action of God taking place, that God, in the midst of human weakness and human inability, is still working out his purposes in the Middle East. One other broad question. You, living in Israel all these years, you've got tons of friends that are young people. How old are you now, Shani?
I'm 32.
32. Whoa. 32. Well, I should have figured that out because you're the same age as younger daughter, right? I still remember the old days with you guys playing at our house as little kids. But you've got plenty of folks who have friends of yours who served in the military or who are serving, young people, college age, who are serving in the military. Do families really get into this? I mean, the fact that every Israelis send their sons and daughters to serve in the military, that must be a very exciting thing to be such a warmongering nation, and the excitement of sending your kids to battle. So is that how they look at it? This is really cool. We get out to kill and destroy our enemies.
You know, it's kind of a necessary evil. It's not anything that anybody's excited about. It's something that everyone just realizes this is what we have to do to survive as a nation. I know that especially with the younger generation, they are anxiously waiting to hit college, get on with their lives. But it's just something that is an honorable thing to do here, you know. If we want to have a nation, somebody's got to do it.
Yeah. All right. Listen, we're going to start to break down some of the historical claims in detail here. And some of the quotes from different ones, some of the claims as to what's happened historically, some of the charges against Israel today. So stay with us, folks. One thing we're discussing this morning with our team about a resource we wanted to make available to you. We've made this available before, but we want to do it in a very special way today. We've got a CD called Stand With Israel. It has 8 MP3 files on it, probably 10 or 12 hours combined. Some of the most important preaching I've done about Israel, important preaching about Israel's salvation at the end of the age, debates with rabbis, outreach lecture at Yale University on anti-Semitism, really eye-opening stuff. It's only $20 for the CD plus postage, but today, for your gift of any size, because we really want to get this out to you, I think it's very important material that will bless you, stir you, give you a greater understanding to pray for Israel, and greater understanding of the issues involved in terms of Jesus being the Jewish Messiah. For your gift of any size whatsoever, we will send you the CD, Stand With Israel. Again, it's normally a $20 value. Those that can give more and help with the broadcast, wonderful. Those that can't, whatever you can afford, 800, sorry about that. 1-800, I got so caught up offering this to you. 1-800-278-9978. Again, your gift of any size, and we will send you the CD with 8 MP3s, Stand With Israel, important lectures, preaching, debates. 1-800-278-9978, number to call. Once more, that is 1-800-278-9978. Those that will be leaving us now, I want to remind you to visit our website, askdrbrown.org, and you can listen to all of the 2-hour broadcast today by clicking on the Line of Fire. You can also archive all of our past broadcast there. And for our friends in the greater Connecticut area, one more reminder, I'll be participating in an Israel conference. It's Friday night, all day Saturday. That's morning, afternoon, evening. I should be speaking morning, afternoon, evening this coming Saturday in Connecticut. Go to AskDrBrown.org for further details.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us today on the Line of Fire. Michael Brown, joined by Shani Ferguson in Israel. And we're talking about the DVD With God on Our Side, which is designed to speak in particular to American evangelicals and to challenge their strong support for Israel and to claim that there is terrible injustice being done, that the Palestinian side of things is being covered up, that a caricature of who the Palestinians are is being presented to the American Christian public, and that justice and true spirit of reconciliation requires a reassessment of our relationship to Israel. 866-34-TRUTH. Shani, are you involved personally with any reconciliation efforts towards the Arab Christian population or the Palestinian Christian population? And if so, is that something that other Messianic Jews are involved with in Israel?
There are some groups that do conferences a lot of times for the younger Israelis and the younger Arabs. Seems the older Israelis and the older Arabs are always it's just easier to try to bridge the gap with the younger ones, and they do a lot of get-togethers and for worship and really trying to build relationships, because it's not that there's so much animosity. It's just that when they don't know each other, then it's harder to really have productive relationships.
All right. So the younger generation, you're saying, seems more open to interaction.
Correct.
And reconciliation. Okay.
Yeah.
Very,
it's not
very
that the older ones are not. It's just that the younger ones, they haven't built all the relationships of decades and decades, and so it's great to have friends from Bethlehem and Nazareth, and we've been able to get them over onto the Israel proper side, and just spend a lot of time in worship and worshiping to Arab music and Israeli music, and just kind of bonding the two cultures.
All right, and those who would identify as Palestinian Christians, how are they being treated in living in Muslim-dominated Hamas and Palestine Authority territories? What's their take on the freedoms that they have on the other side, you could say?
That's a really important point, because in the film, it was brought out that the Palestinian Christians are, hurting, and they need to be connected to the Christians around the world. And there's a couple things that I think should be pointed out. One, and this is where the film is saying things that is different lingo over here. An Arab Christian is different than a Christian Arab. So the Christian Arabs are basically cultural. In here, there's either Muslim Arabs or Christian Arabs. And the Christian Arabs does not actually mean that they're born again, that they know Jesus. It's just they're kind of like a Catholic culture.
Okay.
The Arab Christians are the ones that actually have been born again. They have a relationship with God, and in essence, you have to, if you're born a Christian Arab, you have to have an experience to become an Arab Christian. And even within the Christian Arab culture, the Arab Christians can be persecuted by the Muslim Arabs and by the Christian Arabs. That was one thing that the film said, was that, the Christian Arabs are persecuted, and they're having a hard time, and they somehow manage to blame it on the Israelis. And really, there's no persecution from Israelis to the Christian Arab culture. Because they're Christian Arabs, there's nothing that like that. However, the Muslim Arabs are very much they persecute the Christian Arabs all the time, and in Gaza they've been some recent killings of some believers over there.
Right. So these are Muslims killing Christians, and somehow Israel gets blamed. All right, we'll be back.
Give us strength to always do what's right. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Let's start to look at some of the specific charges that are raised on the video With God on Our Side, produced by Porter Speakman Jr. Again, we invited him to be on the air with us, and he declined the invitation sometime back. Seemed willing, and then we said that we'll be taking issue with him. He'd come on. We never heard back from him, and then invited him on today if he wanted to add his voice. Just on short notice, invited him today. He's in Israel, not able to I think he said he's in Israel, unable to participate. But the door is open, sir, to come on the air and take issue with me, even join me face-to-face in the studio. I know you've got family in the greater Charlotte area. The same thing for Reverend Sizer. Let's debate the biblical issues right here on the radio. 866-34-TRUTH. Online, askdrbrown.org. If you click on the Line of Fire, you'll find a lot of relevant resources. Okay, Shani, Shani Ferguson joining me from Israel. And I didn't ask Shani to come on as an academic from one of the universities there, but as an Israeli, as a Jewish believer in Yeshua, as someone who's been in the thick of Christian-Israel interaction for many, many years, and who with her family, with her mom and dad, Ari and Shira Sarkaram, are not afraid to criticize the government when it's wrong or to draw attention to things that work against Messianic Jews. So it's not like they have blinders on their eyes. Let's look at some of the specific charges here, Shani. According to Steven Sizer, the whole tourism industry is based on an Israeli agenda, and it is to keep people from the Palestinians and to follow the Israeli biblical script. It's also alleged that people are told it's too dangerous to go into Gaza or the West Bank, and therefore the Israelis keep tourists out of there, but it's only to give them a false impression of Israel and the situation with the Palestinians. How do you respond to that?
Well, I mean, if 8,000 or 10,000 rockets seems like it's some sort of not dangerous area to go, then tourists are most welcome to go visit there. And really, when I was younger, the areas in the West Bank, like Bethlehem, Nazareth, were not dangerous. And we went there. I went there several times as a child. I went there with tour groups. And as the uprisings came and went, the Palestinians actually changed the atmosphere for everybody. So it wasn't the Israelis somehow always designed that area as being dangerous. It used to be a very thriving tourist area, and the locals there were just caused so much of a racket. I don't know if anybody remembers watching the standoff in the church about 5 or 6 years ago. Maybe it was more, maybe 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And there was a standoff, and even the locals were scared to go out, and the priests were in the windows.
In Bethlehem.
Saying help. So those are areas that I used to go to, and I don't. It's not for tourists that we tell them it's dangerous. It's for us as well. It's not... You know, if the Palestinians, and again, this is not all Palestinians, but if enough of them throw rocks and cause problems, then it affects everybody.
Well, okay, what about the idea that the Intifada, the uprising, there have been a couple now, but the first major one, of course, they don't mention any of the Intifadas in, say, the 1920s or 30s, where there was an attempt to attack Jews led by a major Muslim cleric who is a colleague of Adolf Hitler. You don't hear anything about that. But Ron Dar, who's a professor and is with Amnesty International, on the video basically explains, he'll make a conciliatory comment here and there about Israel and what Israel or Jewish people have suffered. But then basically what he says is, look, you put your foot on the neck of somebody long enough, you keep them down long enough, you oppress them long enough, and it's inevitable. Any people is going to fight back. So the Intifada is basically Israel's fault for oppressing the Palestinians. And therefore, the reason that the territories got worse was because of Israeli policies. So, and there's nothing, not a word or a syllable in this part of the video about the Intifada itself, about what it did, about the Israeli lives that were taken. Nothing about this. No hint of, say, in 1991 during the Gulf War, that as scuds were falling in Israel, the Palestinians were rejoicing. No mention of any sentiments like that. It's just, again, and oppressed people being oppressed by these terrible Israelis. So what the Intifada, the uprising that took place, is that when a lot of the changes in the atmosphere that you're talking about in these regions arose? And what do you remember about the Intifadas?
I remember a lot before the Intifadas that there was a lot of crossing over of the Palestinian Arabs into Israel proper. They were working here. They were prospering. And I had friends that would work in Tel Aviv, and as soon as the Intifada started up, they couldn't come to work anymore. And, you know, the thing is, and this is what a lot of people don't get, this is not a racial issue. This is a culture that these people are raised in. They say it themselves, they were taught to hate Jews from, you know, their mother's breast. And any time you take a people and you raise them in hate, it doesn't matter if they're taught to hate, you know, the moon or whatever it is, if you're raised in hate, that's where the reaction comes from. And when you're raised in hate, there's no life that comes out of that. I know that when I was, I just had my fourth child, and I like to have a clean house. I like to have, you know, our patio outside nice. And right after I had my child, it somehow some cats got in there, and we usually have someone come and clean, and, you know, they didn't come, and it was just getting gross. But it's my tendency. I want a clean place. So even though it's hard and I've got some, you know, things that make my life difficult, my natural tendency is I'm going to go clean it up. I'm going to go fix it, and I did. But what happens with these people is that they've been trained that they're victims, that it's always the Israelis' fault, the Jews' fault. You're taught to hate them, and so by default, they don't know how to produce life. They don't know how to produce, you know, any kind of joy or culture of life, or they don't know how to take care of themselves. But it's not because they're ignorant, not because they're bad people. It's because they've been raised to hate.
When you say they don't know how to take care of themselves, and you refer to them as these people, someone could easily say, well, you've got hostile attitude towards them, and you're speaking them as if almost they're subhuman. And on the video, it shows a thriving Palestinian culture and families and kids playing and restaurants and music and all of this. So how can you make these charges that someone would think that they're just going to walk in there and it's just total squalor and anger and hatred? There seems to be a lot of joy and thriving Palestinian culture there.
I found it interesting that they called it a thriving Palestinian culture and then turned around and blamed Israel for having, you know, put so much oppression on them that they're
right,
not
right, right, that there's not enough water, there's not enough electricity. Mm-hmm. There's not right. That is a bit of a contradiction there, for sure. Let me raise another issue. The so-called separation barrier. And I want to get to a completely manufactured quote allegedly from David Ben-Gurion. But this, of course, is going to come up. The wall. Christopher, the narrator, says he started seeing images that disturbed him, including the separation barrier and other policies. So, again, he's sincerely disturbed by this. And he says, can we really support Israel in this regard? So what's the truth about this wall that receives such terrible criticism around the world and is something that gets Israel likened to South Africa and charges of apartheid follow?
Well, there's a couple of things about the wall. I mean, really, okay, it is primarily a security barrier. When the wall was erected, it stopped the terrorism, which was on a total rampage in the early 2000s, weekly bus bombings and just really brutal terrorism. And it stopped it almost by 100%. I mean, it was somewhere around 98%. Drop in terror, and that was the primary purpose for the wall. And some people would criticize and say that, you know, they cut into neighborhoods, and so that proves that they didn't, you know, it wasn't really for security, because there's some Arabs on the Israeli side, and there's you know, really two aspects to that. Number one, obviously they would erect the wall where the dangerous side is, and then to keep the areas that were known as cesspools of terrorism on the other side of the wall. And secondly, there are so many Arabs that don't want, they actually want to be a part of Israel. When they heard that the lines were going to be drawn and they were going to end up in, quote, Palestine, they were very upset about it. And they said, we were born Israelis and we'll die Israelis. We don't want to be a part of a Palestinian state because the PA and Hamas and all that are just generally so corrupt, and they have more freedom in Israel with all the oppression and all that. They still have more freedoms in Israel.
So the long and short of this is the wall went up to keep murderers out
Correct.
Of Israeli neighborhoods. And I just want to ask anyone listening that's in any way critical of Israel, if you had the opportunity to keep murderers out of your home by locking the door, putting a fence up, or putting up a wall to keep out murderers from coming from another country, would you do it? Just wondering if you would.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I'm going to be taking the rest of this hour and then a whole other hour, so those that want to listen online or catch up later in the day at our website, AskDrBrown.org, can click on the Line of Fire, can catch up on the rest of this interview, the rest of this presentation as we discuss the very disturbing video with God on our side. Not disturbing because it reveals Israeli atrocities against the Palestinians and sets the record straight, but very disturbing because it is such a hit piece against Israel with so much either misinformation or lack of information or misleading information, which I trust was done sincerely but in ignorance as opposed to being intentionally deceptive. I want to get into issues of worldwide anti-Semitism, give you some of the background to the modern formation of the state of Israel. But for this hour, just want to conclude a few things with Shani Ferguson, who's joining us from Israel. Shani, Gary Burge, respected New Testament scholar, but I believe very, very wrong on his views about Israel and the land today, says on the video that he's on the receiving end of an enormous information system, which brings to him a jaundiced view of Palestinian life. In other words, what's being presented to the general public gives a very wrong view of Palestinian life. And he says that the Palestinians are not defined by Hamas or the Islamic Jihad or Palestinian Authority. So you're saying that the hatred of Israel and the desire to do violence to Israel, even the desire to drive the Jews into the sea or to not even have Jews living in the land at all, he says you can't define the Palestinians by that. That may be the view of Hamas or Islamic Jihad or these other groups or Hezbollah, but you can't define the Palestinians by that. Obviously, you take exception to that and think that this is right through the fiber of Palestinian education and upbringing media, correct?
Absolutely. And you know what? People say you can't define the Palestinian people by Hamas and whatnot, but the fact is they were voted in by the Palestinian people. So they somehow define what is in the hearts of these people. That doesn't mean that every Palestinian agrees with them, and it doesn't even mean that every Palestinian wants to go out and kill like Hamas, but when they vote those kind of people in power, then they will suffer the consequences of those kind of leaders.
Right. So these are, Hamas was voted in by the people of Gaza, and the Palestinian Authority has been voted in what's called the West Bank. And the fact is, these two groups are having a hard time agreeing with each other. So if they're, what about the media, though? What about the textbooks? What do you know about that as far as what kids are taught? Are kids taught we have a problem and the solution is that we live peacefully side by side, that there's a Jewish state and there's a Palestinian state and we live peacefully side by side, and you're going to have Israel, you're going to have to give, and you're going to have to split Jerusalem with us, but we want to live peacefully side by side. Is that what's taught in the textbooks? Is that what comes through the Palestinian media to the people?
I have yet to see a textbook that even remotely came in that direction. I know that I've seen school walls painted with a child throwing a rock at a tank, and if that's what the kid sees every time he goes to school and that's what his respected teachers are promoting, then of course that's the direction they're going to go towards, is protesting and violence and really the horrific murders that took place against the Fogel family a few months ago were done by young teens who, in essence, were in school, and this is what became of their years of education was the non-remorseful, violent act. And they say, we did it for Palestine. I mean, that's not something that they just read in a book or saw on the internet. That was something that was ingrained in them for years to get them to a place where Jewish life is irrelevant.
So they broke into a home in the middle of the night and cold blood slaughtered mom, dad, and children, stabbing three-year-olds in the heart, that kind of thing. What about suicide bombers who have, say, the Sbarro suicide bomber, the Sbarro restaurant where so many were killed and maimed, and then you go over to what would be called the Palestinian territories, and they have streets named for them or memorials. Is that just a fiction, or does that actually exist?
That is correct, and they say, we love death, you love life. They glorify death. They see that as, you know, if a family is poor or they're, you know, they don't have it well on earth, they are told that, you know, if one of your children goes and blows himself up, you know, your whole family gets to go to heaven. It just doesn't get more exciting than having a child martyr, you know, with posters splattered everywhere, and this is their heroes. They trade them like Americans do baseball cards.
All right. So again, the fact that none of this is on the video, that people would not have the slightest clue, you know, I have to appeal to the folks that made the video. If you were trying to set the record straight, you set it very, very crooked, and it behooves you. It behooves you, for the sake of truth, for the sake of reconciliation, for the sake of justice, for the sake of the name of Jesus, to set the record straight and to cover all these other things. Hey, Shani, we've got more time in the next hour to discuss a whole bunch of issues. The best website to follow what you and Kobe are doing in Israel, what's that?
YeshuaIsrael.com.
All right, Yeshua Israel. That's YESHUA Israel. YeshuaIsrael.com. And your mom and dad's ministry for many years in Israel around the world, the best website for them?
MaozIsrael.org.
All right, Maoz. M-A-O-Z. MaozIsrael.org. Hey, you've got like a minute or two, Shani, to clean up after the kids. They're probably all in bed, or if the cat messed anything up, you got a minute or two to clean up and get back with us. We'll continue the discussion. So those signing out, checking out now, check out the website later on, askdrbrown.org. And when you go there, click on the Line of Fire, you'll be able to listen to both hours of broadcast. We're going to get into some of the issues of worldwide anti-Semitism and then some of the historical claims, including a completely falsified quote attributed to David Ben-Gurion. We'll be covering that in the next hour. On my website, askdrbrown.org, we've got lots and lots of relevant resources, materials for reaching out to the lost sheep of the House of Israel, articles about Israel Today on our Voice of Revolution online magazine. So take advantage of all those resources. And then a special offer. We've never done this before. I don't know if we'll do it again for a while, but what we're doing today, my CD, Stand With Israel. It's, I don't know, 8 to 10 hours of teaching, preaching, lecturing, debates with rabbis, preaching on Israel, lecture on anti-Semitism at Yale University, an outreach lecture. Tremendous material. It sells for $20 plus postage. But today, for whatever you can afford, your gift of any size, we will send this out to you. Those who can be generous can help those that are unable to be generous. We want to get this to as many of you as possible because you'll really find it tremendously impacting, life-changing information to listen to on your computer or your MP3 player. But give us a call today to take advantage of this. 1-800-278-9978. As for the Stand With Israel CD, for your gift of any size today, that's 1-800-278-9978. One last time, it's not available on the website. You just need to call this number, 1-800-278-9978. Here's my bottom line. If we are going to speak the truth, if we are going to claim to speak the truth, we need to be very careful to present the truth accurately, to do our best to give both sides of a story, to do our best not to skew things in either direction. Sadly, the video, with God on our side, fails very seriously to do this. I'm hoping for something better. There's an important new movie called With God on Our Side. Does it point the way to reconciliation between Jew and Arab in the Middle East, or is it really a hit piece against Israel?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks so much, folks, for joining us today on The Line of Fire. I am continuing in this hour a critique of this video With God on Our Side that I can only say is a hit piece against Israel, however sincerely it may have been put together by the producer and others that were involved with it. But this hour stands alone from the first hour, so we're going to dive in. I've got a guest waiting to join us from Israel, Shani Ferguson, lived most of her life in Israel, actively involved in ministry within Israel, born-again believer, follower of Jesus Yeshua as Messiah. If you'd like to weigh in, if you've seen the video and agree with it or differ with it, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884, online, askdrbrown.org. If you'll click on The Line of Fire, you'll find a lot of relevant resources for today. Shani, thanks so much for taking time away from husband and four kids and what it's now 10 at night in Israel?
It is. I'm up late.
All right. What time do your kids get up in the morning or through the night, I should ask?
Yeah, the baby will be up all night, so I'm used to it.
All right. Well, good. You'll get some rest someday, sometimes. Sabbath is coming soon, right? Oh, okay. In the first hour, I just want to restate this. I mentioned that we invited Porter Speakman onto the air. Initially, he said he would come on. We said we were going to be strongly differing with him, but wanted to give him an opportunity to give his side of the story, and then we didn't hear back from him after that. But the invitation still stands. We asked him to call in today if he was able, but short notice from he's out of the country, said he couldn't. We also invited Reverend Stephen Sizer, who is a well-known anti-Christian Zionist, and at one point was a Christian Zionist, and now is quite militantly on the other side of the issue. We invited him on and got no response, but the door remains open for these gentlemen to come on. And as for Porter Speakman Jr., my assumption is that the video was produced with a lot of ignorance on key issues as opposed to intentionally withholding information and intentionally misleading the public. And therefore, I do hope at a certain point that he will do the right thing and set the record straight with the video. But Shani, I think it's important that our listeners understand the relationship that Israel's had with evangelical Christians, because for Israel to be friendly with Christians is a bit of a miracle given church history and given the fact that most Jews who know their history view Christianity. I was speaking with a rabbi friend of mine who lives in an ultra-Orthodox area of New Jersey, and he said in his community, if you ask your average person there, do you associate the Holocaust with Christianity, he'd say, of course they do. Naturally, knowing European Christian anti-Semitic history. So how is it now that there's such friendship between the Israeli government and even the Israeli people and evangelical Christians, especially from America?
You know, it really is a bit of a miracle. I think partly because Israel is in a corner. It has so much opposition. And they see a group of people that are willing to embrace them, and they don't really understand it. They're a bit confused because they do know the history of the church with Israel, but they somehow have come to the place where they have to embrace it. But secondly, basically because the church has been so forthcoming in saying, we're just here to love you guys. We're just here to pray for you guys, and Israel is taken aback, but really enjoying that relationship, and the Christians have been lobbying for Israel and really doing a lot of support in ways that entities like the UN would not.
Got it. All right. So it's genuine Christian love that has made a big difference, and sadly, this video is questioning whether this Christian love is rightly placed or not. We'll be back with a lot of specific information you don't want to miss.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on a very important broadcast. I'm joined with a longtime friend of the family, a grad from our ministry school years back, Israeli Shani Ferguson. She and her husband, Kobe, actively involved in ministry in Jerusalem. Her mom and dad, Ari and Shira Sarkaram, with Maoz Israel, that many Christians around the world are familiar with. And we're discussing the video With God on Our Side by Porter Speakman Jr., and a video that deeply concerns me, not because it makes Christians in America wonder whether they should stand with Israel, but because of the amount of wrong information, misinformation, misleading information, or information that is just entirely missed. So, Shani, as we take a look at some of the historical claims of this video, did you happen to notice that there was no mention of the Holocaust in terms of the whole history and Jews returning to the land and the establishing of the homeland? Did that absence of mention jar you the way it jarred me?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I think really the absence of anything that would make your heart emotionally attached to the Jewish people was completely non-existent.
Right, and that part, as you mentioned when we talked last hour, the images of Palestinian kids playing, of a mom feeding a baby with a bottle, of street life and celebration and joy among the Palestinians, and the Israelis just coming in with guns and breaking down doors, or maybe some fringe religious activists chanting, you know, horrible slogan like death to the Arabs or something like that. That's the only picture that you got. And in no way is there a fair presentation. That's a concern in terms of did the producers and the folks involved with this not know better? So no mention of the Holocaust, no mention of Jewish suffering through history, except in the most cursory way. But then when it's mentioned, it's basically said, well, the Jews should know better, then they should be nicer to everybody. I mean, that's pretty much the context in which it's mentioned. So let's go back to more recent history, all right, in the last 100 years, instead of going back all through history of Arab-Jewish relations and Muslim countries and so on, and the history of what's called Palestine. Salim Munayer is on, and this is what he says, that the Jews left the land for 2,000 years. Now they come back, but there are people living in the land. So how can they justify their presence? Well, there are deserts, there are swamps. The Jews turned the desert and swamps into a paradise. Because of that, Arabs began to come back to live in the land. He said it's not true. His family lived in the land since the 12th century, owned lots of land, and his family was ordered out of their houses at gunpoint, and there was a massacre. People were not allowed to take any possessions. And it's in this context that the horrific charge of ethnic cleansing is raised, and of course one that's a very ugly, absolutely false charge. As you understand the history of things with the resettlement of the land, late 1800s into the early 1900s, the Arab presence, the Jewish presence, do you think there's credence to what Salim Munayer is saying, that the traditional Jewish story is basically a myth? Is it a mix? Is it a little of both? What's your understanding of what happened?
A bit of a complicated question, but really, the thing is after World War II, there was a massive shift. So just like during when the Ottoman Empire was dissolving, there was just a massive shift of people moving everywhere. There was European Jews coming down. There was about 900,000, I believe, Jews that were being expelled from Arab countries into that. Basically, they said, now you have your country, now you can't live here anymore.
Right, with the announcement of the State of Israel, about 800,000 Jews displaced, right.
And there were Arabs in the land of Israel. From the studies that I've done, there were Arabs that stayed. Obviously, we have citizens. That Arab citizens that still live here, there were soldiers that were going into different towns, and if the Arab town was okay with the Jewish state, if they didn't oppose anything, they were allowed to stay, and if they rejected the Israeli presence, they were removed or a lot of them left on their own because the surrounding Arab nations said, get out of the land, and we're going to destroy the Jewish state that they just tried to make, and then you can go home. And so a lot of them left on their own, assuming that there was going to be some sort of victory from the Arabs over the Jews. And when that didn't happen, then they were also displaced. But, you know, one thing that disturbed me was Salim. Now, Salim, he was actually saved in my mother's apartment years ago. And when he was saved, he said, I'm not an Arab, I'm a Christian. He really didn't have this kind of, you know, Palestinian-Israeli conflict in his mind. And from what my mom told me, then he goes off to some sort of college and gets involved with a pro-Palestinian group and comes back, and suddenly he's a Palestinian. And suddenly, you know, he's talking as if, you know, he makes up, he had these arguments as if saying that this is what Israelis say, and I don't say that. So I don't know where he came up with that, these ideas of saying, you know, there was no Arabs here at all. Of course there were Arabs. There were a lot of nomadic Arabs, and so there were Arabs that were coming in and out of the country all the time, and that's why some people say there was no people here. There was no Arabs here. There were Arabs here. That's where some of the conflict comes in. But nobody says that there was absolutely nobody here, but there was a lot of barren land. There was a lot of swamp land, and he says that somehow isn't true. So, some of his arguments are a bit disturbing, and he also appeals to the senses in saying, you know, oh, you're telling Palestinian Christians that, you know, I'm an obstacle to the Messiah coming back, and, you know, again, appealing to emotional arguments and not to facts.
Right, so no one that I've read in terms of history argues that there was violence on both sides, that there
Correct.
Were Jewish victims, that there were Arab victims, that there was a conflict in the Middle East. But what seems clear was that if the Arab nations had accepted the partitioning that was going to be made, that Israel was going to accept it, and initially you would have had your so-called Palestinian state and your modern state of Israel, in theory, that's what was fought against. There's no mention on the video at all of historic Islamic anti-Semitism. Scholars have demonstrated that what the Nazis drew on in the Middle East was not just the conflict over the land that was starting to grow before World War II, but there was a historic Islamic anti-Semitism where the Jews are considered to be children of apes and pigs, and that Jews at the end of the age that a tree will say, there's a Jew hiding behind me, kill him. So there is a historic Islamic anti-Semitism that could be drawn on. So the idea of a strong Jewish presence in the land was not wonderfully welcomed by many Muslim and Arab leaders. And again, there's not even a hint of that that's portrayed. Hey, one quick thing.
Correct, because I actually talk about in Hebron, where there was only 500 settlers there, and there's 30,000 Palestinians. Well, in 1929, the Arabs came into Hebron, where there were many Jews, and killed about 30 of them, and the rest of the Jews fled out of the city. And so, of course, yeah, when 1948, there weren't a lot of Jews there, and those kind of things are also not mentioned.
Yeah, so if things are pointed out in Hebron, concerns today about settlers or how they're living or how they're treating the majority Palestinians or Arabs living there, if you're going to present that, then just present a little history and other sides of the story. Just real quick before we go to break, I am not a trained historian in modern Middle Eastern history. My expertise in terms of academic training was in ancient languages and ancient history, but I can smell something bogus when it's bogus. So there's a quote from Prime Minister David Ben-Gurion from 1937, "The Arabs will have to go, but one needs an opportune moment for making it happen, such as war." This quote is on there. Benny Morris, who's a very left-leaning historian who would be very critical of Israel in many ways, and is an Israeli himself, this is what he wrote about this when others quoted this as well. "I support compulsory transfer. The Arabs will have to go, but one needs an opportune moment for making it happen, such as a war." Benny Morris says the first part of the quote, "I support compulsory transfer," is genuine. The rest, "the Arabs will have to go, such as a war," is an invention, pure and simple. And Benny Morris continues, neither Ben-Gurion nor the Zionist movement planned the displacement of the 700,000-odd Arabs who moved or were removed from their homes in 1948. There was no such plan or blanket policy. Transfer was never adopted by the Zionist movement as part of its platform. On the contrary, the movement always accepted that the Jewish state that arose would contain a sizable Arab minority. Rather than having those facts there, a false quote, a fictitious quote, wrongly attributed to Ben-Gurion is blasted on the screen. Is that justice? Is that truth? Is that the spirit of Jesus? Is that the spirit of reconciliation?
The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I sat down last night and started to take detailed notes on the video with God on Our Side, which is a real hit piece against Christian Zionism and Israel today. And I found it to be terribly imbalanced, terribly lacking in a fair presentation of material, terribly lacking in fairness in terms of how things were presented on the video. That's what disturbed me more than anything. By all means, be a critic of Israel today or a critic of evangelical Christians today. But fine. Based on truth, based on facts, fine. However, to put something out that's a hit piece in the name of reconciliation, that disturbs me. And that's why those involved with the video have an open door to join me on the air here to tell me why they think I'm wrong and I'm being unfair. 866-34-TRUTH. I'm joined in Israel by Shani Ferguson. And Shani, as I mentioned to you, I was going through the video and just taking so many detailed notes, I thought, you know, I'm going to have to stop partway through with notes and we'll have to take up a lot of the theological issues and other points raised on the video at a later time, just because there was so much that concerned me. But before we get back to our interaction and look directly at some of the charges, I just want to point out that some of the scholars that are cited, like Ilan Pape, and if I'm pronouncing his last name correctly, I always see it in print, and Norman Finkelstein, are the most radical fringe representatives of critical scholarship on Israel. Finkelstein has likened Israelis to Nazis and said he doesn't see why any Israeli would mind that comparison. I was just watching a video clip of him earlier where he refers to Israel today as lunatic. Pape is widely cited for saying that how history is perceived is more important than the facts themselves, that it's not just a matter of being objective. To have guys that are so extreme and so fringe without mentioning that, and then without getting other academics on to refute what they're saying, also gives a very misleading impression. But, Shani, let's take some calls, and then we'll get back to our discussion. Michael in Atlanta, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hey, Michael. Dr. Brown, thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I definitely don't want to disagree with you completely because I don't really feel like you're wrong completely. I guess my concern was I feel like the video paints a good picture by swinging the pendulum on the other side. And unfortunately, although it's maybe too far, it's helping maybe bring a balance. And the reason I say that is because I feel like I'm a testimony to kind of that typical conservative evangelical who grew up being told things like, well, you have to support Israel and you have to believe this, and there's no real questions based off Genesis 12 and other things. And so the video really helped me understand, and especially that last 20 minutes where Stephen Sizer really talks about the Good Samaritan and understanding what justice is and what mercy is. And I think where I'm concerned from your end is just like, I feel like you're on the other end as well. And so I'm not really hearing good balance because I think in Israel and the Arab nations, they both are wrong in a lot of ways. But how can we really bring reconciliation and understand the balanced side? And I want to hear that. I want to hear more understanding.
Well, I'm refuting error today. I'm refuting a video that's very dangerous, that's filled with misleading images, that's filled with pictures of Israeli soldiers at the same time that you see a mother nursing her baby, a Palestinian mother nursing her baby. It leaves out history. How do you overlook the Holocaust? You're talking about justice. How do you overlook the Holocaust? How do you overlook 15 centuries of Christian anti-Semitism however many 13, 14 centuries of Islamic anti-Semitism? How do you overlook that? How do you overlook the fact that Israelis have been working to live side by side with the Palestinians, whereas Palestinian textbooks don't even have Israel listed, and suicide bombers are celebrated in the public square? How does one overlook that in the video? And how does one do such a hatchet job on the scriptures that forgets that the New Testament plainly reiterates that the calling of God on Israel remains unchanged, and with that, the promise of the land? How does one overlook that? So I've many times have said that Israel is far from perfect, and there are many issues within the country. And I think it's only right that Israel is held accountable. But this is a hit piece. This is highly inaccurate hit piece and highly inaccurate theologically. That's why we invited the producer and supporter of Speakman Jr. and Stephen Sizer to join me on the air, and they're still welcome to join me. So what can I do? I'm refuting error today as truthfully as I can. And if I want you to hold on and just listen, but I very much appreciate the call. Absolutely.
Yeah,
and I want to point out that I'm refuting error today to set the record straight. But just hang on. I want you to hear from Shani over in Israel. Shani, tell me about the training of Israeli soldiers, anecdotes, things you know of, what they have to do when whether it's the war in Lebanon or the war in Gaza, as far as trying to protect citizens, and what the Israeli populace feels if they hear that Israel has killed innocent men, women, and children. Talk to us about that for a minute.
Well, in the most recent conflicts, some of the precautions that were taken by the Israelis were calling the homes that were going to be bombed to tell the people to get out. Because if weapons were being stored in that facility, then the military needed to get rid of those weapons, but they didn't want to hurt anybody. And if there is someone who is accidentally hurt, the Israeli public gets very upset about it. They talk about it in the news. I actually remember watching live an Arab-Israeli doctor on the phone on the set on live TV, and he was getting a call, and he actually put it on speaker, and you could hear a man who apparently his daughter had been killed in one of the explosions, and he put it on the TV, and they actually showed, you know, they were letting the Israelis listen to it, because Israelis don't like the war, and they really don't like to hear that children are injured or killed. And so one of the things, knowing that, that's one of the things that Hamas and different the militants will do on purpose, set things up, shoot rockets from schools or hospitals. They will put weapons in caskets or in alongside bodies and ambulances, so that no matter what Israel does, it looks bad. And if they say, okay, we have to stop the ambulance and there's an injured person in there and they need to get to the hospital, well, we have to stop and search, because sure enough, they stuck rifles underneath or missiles underneath to try to smuggle them in. And it leaves Israel looking bad. I know that Israeli soldiers, when they are trained to constantly restrain themselves, constantly, you know, use the gas grenade, I'm sorry, gas, smoke grenades to try to disperse crowds. Don't use live fire. Really, as many precautions as possible to try to disperse violence, as opposed to try to kill people. Which I remember actually in the film was mentioned. They say, "Oh, if we throw rocks at
right,
Jewish
we throw
cells,
rocks, they
shoot
immediately
us.
Shoot us with machine
yeah.
guns." If that happened. That happened in Israel. There would be a national outcry from Israelis. All right, back with more.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, folks, for joining us today on the Line of Fire. We're tackling a very hot, controversial issue, namely, is Christian support of Israel misguided? Are the Israelis guilty of atrocities against the Palestinians? Are the Israelis guilty of injustice against the Palestinians? Are the Israelis the real obstacle to peace in the Middle East? Are Christians wrongly supporting Israel as opposed to saying, look, we're not on the side of Israel, we're not on the side of the Palestinians, we're on God's side, and God's side is the way of peace, justice? There's a video by Porter Speakman Jr., who was invited to join us on the show and either declined or was unable or both over the different times we've invited him. But to me, it's a hit piece on Israel, inaccurate theologically and inaccurate historically and factually. I'm assuming based on ignorance as opposed to based on wanting to be deceptive. Either way, I find it to be dangerously misleading. 866-34-TRUTH, joined from Israel by Shani Ferguson, together with her husband Kobe, actively involved in outreach to the Jewish people living in the land. Shani, there is something that I think our listeners need to be reminded of. For whatever reason, for whatever history, the reality today is if there's a successful suicide mission in Israel, that there is rejoicing among many Palestinians. There is celebration that Jewish blood was spilled. There's that level of hatred, animosity. Have you ever seen, in terms of the larger Israeli populace, that type of celebration if there's a report that Palestinian kids were killed in an Israeli rocket attack, or that a soldier snapped and killed the family if that happened? Have you ever seen that type of reaction in Israel, that there's widespread celebration because, hey, the only good Arab is a dead Arab?
Never. And actually, if that ever were to happen from some rogue Israeli, they would quickly become the scum of Israeli culture. Israelis don't like death, and that's why the Palestinian culture can have that kind of rejoicing when there's death, and the Israelis don't do that.
So you're saying that's also part of the Islamic mindset, or radical Islam, at least, that, you know, the martyrdom is assurance of eternal life, and we love death, you love life kind of concept. And have there been investigations? Have you ever seen this in your lifetime where maybe there is an alleged massacre or a refugee camp and soldiers were allowed in and there was a massacre, or say within the war on Gaza, the war against Hamas, Operation Cast Lead, that there are allegations of Israeli violence against citizens that was preventable? Have you ever seen these types of investigations or read about them in your lifetime in Israel?
There's been investigations to all sorts, because there's been so many claims of massacres. But a lot of times footage comes out where they'll show, Palestinians carrying bodies, and then the body, falls off the, the thing.
Whatever they're being carried on, we understand.
Whatever it is they're being carried on, and the body falls off and then manages to climb back on so they can continue their...
So you're saying there's some stuff that's contrived in terms of the footage. Obviously,
right.
They're suffering, but there's some stuff that's contrived and a lot of claims
correct.
Of massacre. But
again, if something happens and there's some rogue soldier that does something stupid, the Israeli military jumps right on it and will investigate. And should something like that happen, even mild levels of abuse, the soldiers go to jail. I mean, we don't mess around with that kind of stuff.
Right. And again, it's often been said that if the Palestinians put down their weapons, there would be no more war. If the Israelis put down their weapons, there would be no more Israel. We come back. I want to play your clip that talks about the UN and worldwide anti-Semitism. Again, something that was not factored in at all in the video with God on our side.
Flame, send the fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Great to be with you today, this Thursday, as we focus, as we do on Thursdays, on Israel-Jewish people. I've been very concerned about a video. It came out last year called With God on Our Side. And I'm concerned because it shows, especially to Christians in America, and raises serious questions about whether they should be standing with Israel. And I believe that there's serious theological errors and issues with the video, and serious errors in terms of the presentation of facts, historic and current. 866-34-TRUTH. I've had on the show with me, and this is now the second hour dealing with this. So go to my website, askdrbrown.org. Click on The Line of Fire. Make sure you do that. You'll find lots of relevant resources, articles, online things you can read on our websites that are very relevant messages you can listen to on the website. And then you can catch up on everything we covered in this time frame. And I asked Shanee Ferguson to come on. I've known Shanee and her family for many, many years. She and her husband graduated from our ministry school in Pensacola. And I would look at her as a Jewish believer in Israel, educated in these issues in terms of she's looked into them, but I didn't bring on an academic. I didn't bring on a theologian. I brought on someone that could give you the feel for living in Israel and their perception on a video like this. We put our friend Michael in Atlanta on hold a little ways back. All right, and he's gone. We invited him to call back. Shanee, let's listen to a clip about the UN and Israel. It's very important to recognize that there is world bias against Israel, that there really is a spiritual battle against the Jewish people. Regardless of guilt, there really is a satanic conspiracy against Israel. I lay it out plainly in my book, Our Hands Are Stained with Blood. If you don't have that, I strongly encourage you to get a copy for yourself. You'll find it disturbingly eye-opening. And we'll let you know about a resource you'll be able to get later in the broadcast. Let's give this a listen.
No matter how you feel about the United Nations, it's the one place on planet Earth where nations get together and attempt to speak with one voice. That's why their resolutions can make a big difference. So when people all around the world see that approximately 40% of the UN Human Rights Council resolutions were against just one country, most of us would assume that country must be a really bad place. Perhaps ruled by, oh, say, a genocidal dictator who kills his own people, or maybe a tyrant continually threatening to annihilate another country. But actually, the country that has been condemned more times than every repressive country on Earth combined is a democracy. The only viable democracy in the Middle East, Israel. And with these repeated resolutions against Israel, it's easy to see why so many in the international community perceive Israel as a major cause of world problems. But are all these resolutions really justified? Because whether or not you agree with how Israel is handling its many challenges, when you do a basic comparison, like the number of deaths Israel is responsible for with the number of condemnations they've received, and then make that same comparison with other countries, it paints a surprising picture of a possible double standard. What could explain the enormous imbalance? Quick history lesson. In 1975, Cuba needed to gather support in order to take down the biggest democratic superpower dominating the global schoolyard, the United States. Seeing how the UN was mostly controlled by the democratic superpowers, Cuba, along with other communist nations, finally found a way to even the playing field, because it just so happened that, at the same time, a number of Muslim countries were looking for new, creative ways to gang up on Israel. So the communists realized that by joining the Muslims' anti-Israel coalition, they could create an unstoppable voting bloc inside the UN. Because with every resolution they passed against Israel, they simultaneously discredited Israel's ally, the United...
All right, now, I'm going to jump in here. There's a bit more of the history lesson on this clip. But what I wanted you to realize is the disproportionate amount of attack that comes Israel's way from the international community. I was at a forum in 1991, I believe it was, 91 or 92, a Jerusalem Foundation forum in New York City, and Dan Rather moderated a discussion between a Lebanese scholar, well-respected Arab scholar, and Dr. Henry Kissinger. The Lebanese scholar was Dr. Professor Fuad Ajami. And I asked some questions when there was an interactive time and pressed one point, and I remember Fuad Ajami saying, listen, Israel uses a tear gas, and there's a world outcry. Saddam Hussein uses nerve gas on his own people, and there's silence. Shani, living in Israel, do you sometimes have the feeling that the whole world is against Israel and that whatever you do is going to be massively scrutinized, whereas those around you can commit atrocities and there's barely a hiccup worldwide?
Kind of used to it, so I almost don't notice every time I hear there's another UN resolution condemning Israel, and, you know, sometimes they do it before they even know. I mean, when the flotilla happened, it was like, oh, there's a resolution against us and nobody even knows what happened yet. But the part that usually gets me is, you know, we get condemned for, you know, some odd thing, and you just don't hear anything about when the, you know, Palestinian Authority to their own people, you know, when they commit atrocities against their own people, when Hamas goes and shoots up weddings of, you know, people from different political parties, that there's nothing, not a word. But again, it's annoying, but I'm just so used to it, I almost don't even pay attention anymore.
Right, but I mean, it is a reality. Obviously, Israelis have to get thick-skinned at a certain point. Hey, let me grab another call, and then we'll go back to the video. Andrew in Lexington, Kentucky, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hey, guys. I had a theological issue to raise, but I'll probably do it tomorrow on the call-in. So I understand that the video itself may have swung the pendulum the other way, but the target audience, you know, when you say, why don't they show the Hamas at the schools and the kids and the naming the streets after terrorists, et cetera, et cetera. The target audience that this video was shot for, which is white American evangelicals, already have that picture of Palestinians. They already have that stereotype of Palestinians, and they do not have the understanding of the genuine oppression that's happening to those people. Now, if it's to the degree that the video makes it sound, I mean, that's debatable. My question is, do you not see the anger that you felt when you were watching the mischaracterization of your people? Do you not see that there are many Palestinians and many folks who support them that have felt this way about Americans as far as how they are perceived, to the point where I saw a well-known evangelical scholars say that God was going to kill all the Palestinians for messing with Israel, which I would find equally as dangerous as what you would find in the video. So I'd just like to hear your thoughts about that.
Great. Yeah, great questions and comments, Andrew. I appreciate that. I've got a, just with a phone line issue here, you're going to be on hold, but you're going to be able to listen, all right? And sure. I want to give you a response and enable Shani to weigh in as well. The first thing, Andrew, is I think your questions are great questions and you raise great points, but I don't think the pendulum needs to swing. In other words, you say it's swung back, you know, it's on one side, now it's swung to the other side. I don't think it's been at that extreme side because Prime Minister Netanyahu gets up and says to our Congress that he welcomes a Palestinian state and let's live side by side in peace. And all he's asking the Palestinians to say is we welcome a Jewish state. See, that hasn't been said, and I don't think the pendulum needs to swing. And I think your average American evangelical Christian, I don't think they're aware of streets being named after suicide bombers. I don't think they're aware of that. I don't think they're aware of what's taught in the average textbook. What they're aware of is that God has regathered the Jewish people to the land, and the Jewish people are attacked and harassed by enemies on every side, and that the Jewish people regathered their refugees and received them into their land. The surrounding Arab nations want nothing to do with the Palestinians. They expelled Palestinians from their own countries. So again, it is a very false presentation. You don't balance what you think is an exaggeration with falsehood, with an exaggeration of your own. So that's why I would take strong exception to. And the quote level of oppression, Shani, perhaps you can weigh in on that, but how, as far as you understand, if there is oppression and checkpoints and various things like this and difficulties for the life of the Palestinian people, in your view as an Israeli, is that self-imposed because they still have war declared on Israel, or is it just Israel's apartheid policies?
Well, you know, one of the things that struck me is that's funny about the traffic and the checkpoints is that in Israel, there is horrible traffic everywhere. It's not just checkpoints. It's just Israel is a hard place. There's lots of traffic. There's lots of lines. There's Israelis that don't make it to the hospital. You know, that was one of the things they said in the film is that there was Palestinians that didn't make it to the hospital in time because of the checkpoints. There's Israelis that don't make it to the hospitals because of traffic in the streets. But really, the issue with the swinging the pendulum is that this is not an accurate portrayal of the Palestinian situation, and therefore I don't see it as helpful as giving a broader picture of what their life is.
All right,
like.
Tell you what, we'll pick this up when we come back. Stay with us, Andrew and Shani and everybody else.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Yeah, I've got pages and pages and pages of notes I barely even was able to get into. Now, at the end of 2 hours of broadcasting, raising very serious concerns about the video With God on Our Side, which to me is a hit piece against Israel and against Christian support of Israel. Hey, Andrew in Lexington, Kentucky, we don't have much time, but I just wanted to allow you to briefly respond to what I had to say and what Shani had to say.
Yeah, just two things in closing. One, I think when she was talking about the checkpoints and not being able to get to the hospital, I think she was alluding to, and I don't know if you've seen the entirety of the video, this woman actually lost her child because she couldn't get to the checkpoints in time. And the response was, well, you know, a lot of people, I mean, there's traffic. It just seems kind of, it doesn't really seem to be, I don't know. But like, I'm not in
yeah, but
situation.
just understand, Andrew, that Israeli hospitals regularly treat Palestinian children for free.
Israeli hospitals,
you're not going to find the Palestinian hospitals treating the Israeli kids. And the checkpoint wouldn't be there unless people were trying to come in and kill the Israelis.
I understand that completely. It's just that at the end of the day, a woman lost her child. And my issue is, as a Christian, and I think this was the real point of the video, which, you know, I wish they would have emphasized it a lot more instead of the rhetoric, et cetera, et cetera, was that as Christians, is our role to be, we're going to support the Israelis and tell the Palestinians that they're squatters, or is our role to put a Palestinian hand in Jesus' hand and an Israeli hand in Jesus' hand and bring them both together? Is that not our role? And I feel like white American Christian evangelicals are totally one-sided in the way that they're approaching this
issue, and I wish there were more
in the middle.
Right, and I appreciate that. Sorry to jump in. It's just I'm time-sensitive, but I very much enjoy the conversation. Just remember, the checkpoints wouldn't be there if the Palestinians weren't trying to slaughter and kill and murder Israelis. That's the first thing, okay? If that wasn't happening, there would be no checkpoints because you've got over a million Arabs living right there in Israel, side by side, and there are no checkpoints for them, okay? That's the first thing. Second thing, remember that every Israeli just going into a mall to shop, you've got to go through security. You've got to go through this whole rigmarole. You can't live a normal life in Israel as an Israeli because of constant threats to kill and maim. And lastly, Christians absolutely should stand with Israel. They must undo the horrific history of Christian anti-Semitism over 1,500 plus years. They must demonstrate a genuine love to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And that is a Christian imperative. But we will talk more. Andrew, appreciate it very much. And please do call back because I think you have important points to make, even if we're on different sides of the spectrum. They are educated and thoughtful points. All right, Shani, amazingly, we've covered just a part of the video, and we're almost out of time, but can you just give us succinctly some of the strongest reasons why you feel that Christians should stand with Israel, not to justify injustice, but as a general rule, recognizing God has brought the Jewish people back to the land, and why Christians should be standing with Israel?
Yeah, and I just want to respond real quick just to explain. I know it sounds like I'm flippant. I'm just trying to say that it's not, you can't just say, well, a woman lost her child, therefore it's Israel's fault. And that was the point that I was making.
Got it.
Not so, okay. But As for Christians supporting Israel, there's, you know, there's the obvious spiritual dynamic behind it. If we say, you know, God says, bless Israel and you'll be blessed. There's also the very practical issue that Israel is America's ally in the Middle East, and freedom in Israel serves as a buffer to America, because the opposition that Israel experiences from the Muslim world and the surrounding Arab countries, really, it will eventually turn on America should they take out Israel. Right now, they're focusing on Israel because we're close, but we are considered the little Satan, and America is the big trophy for the Muslim world. So Christians, for their own skin and their own safety, not in the sense of scaring everybody, but so that the same thing that Israel is experiencing right now, will the animosity from the Arab world will turn to America. And Israel really is a bastion of freedom for Arabs that live here and for many Arabs that actually would like to come here. And so if Christians or Americans want to support Israel, they are supporting Arabs by supporting Israel.
Got it. All right. And obviously there's much more that could be said. I just didn't give you enough time to say it. So, Shani, the website for you and Kobe, tell our listeners again what that is.
Is YeshuaIsrael.com. And actually, one more thing. The issue with Jerusalem and dividing up Jerusalem, if Jerusalem goes to the Palestinians, then they have said that they don't want to have any kind of Jews or Christians coming over into the old city and all the holy sites and all the places that tourists love to come at this point.
Right, and it's not just a matter of tourism, it's a matter of a spiritual connection. Hey,
correct.
Shani, busy mom with kids, but I wanted to get your perspective just as an Israeli and a lover of Yeshua at the same time. Thanks for joining us, and give Kobe a hug for us, all right?
Will do. Thanks for having me.
Sure thing. God bless. Okay, friends, can I encourage you strongly to dig into these issues more deeply? One more time, an open invitation to Porter Speakman Jr., to Christopher on the video as a narrator, to Reverend Stephen Sizer, please come on the air with me and join me if you feel I'm being unfair, unjust, not accurately representing you, not accurate historically, factually, theologically, or let's have a public dialogue and discussion about it in another setting if you feel my own radio show is not a fair setting. I delight to put the issues on the table, and I say that this video is unfair, is a hit piece, leaves out a lot of essential information. My assumption is it was done out of sincerity and what was intended to be a Christian spirit, but it was done very, very wrongly with a lot of bias that needs to be corrected in the name of justice, reconciliation, peace, and in the spirit of Jesus. I would love to get into your hands, every one of you that's possible, I'd love to get into your hands an important resource. You've heard us offer it different times on the air, but we're doing something special today. Talked to our team this morning and said, okay, let's do this and get this out to you. It's a $20 CD with 8 to 10 hours of preaching, teaching, lectures, debates with rabbis, some of my most important preaching ever on Israel. Along with that, outreach lecture I did at Yale University talking about anti-Semitism, important debates I've had with rabbis, including a major counter-missionary rabbi who's refused to debate me for 20 years since our first debate, which you can listen to on the CD. It's $20 plus postage, but today, you can get it for a gift of any size to our ministry work and to help us reach more people through the radio program. Those that can afford to pay for it, wonderful. Those that can give a larger gift, great. Those that can only give a fraction of that, great. We want to get it to you. So for your gift, whatever you can afford, this very, very important CD to listen to on your computer or your MP3 player, Stand With Israel. Call us right now at 1-800-278-9978. Need to do this today, though. 1-800-278-9978. Ask for the Stand With Israel CD for your gift of any size. That's 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line is this. We all agree that we need to be on God's side. We all agree that we need to be on the side of justice. We all agree that we need to be on the side of peace. Ultimately, I would say this. There are clear promises that God will redeem Israel and the Jewish people. At the very least, stand in faith for that.